You're about to hear the Sunday sermon from the Grapevine Church of Christ in Grapevine, Texas, a family who's devoted to giving our lives to and living our lives for Jesus Christ. If you have any questions about today's lesson, visit us on our website, www.grapevinechurch.com. Thanks for listening.
Okay, so today is Mission Sunday. Did you see the little tables outside? Isn't it great? Man, this is a wonderful, wonderful day. I've been looking forward to this. The thing that I'm excited about is that, you know, there are things for us to do. Now, whenever I was a kid, I was Liam's age, 8 years old. In my little 8-year-old mind, I was always marveling at these people who would go to the mission field. You know, they would go, they would pack up, and they would leave, and people just kept going. And I was so amazed, and I was also a little confused because I'm wondering, how could so many of them go? You know, because in my 8-year-old mind, I thought the mission field was one big field that people would go to. There were tents set up and people would come and visit this mission field. You know, the people at the mission field would have food and clothes and Bible studies, and people would come from miles over to see this big mission field. You know, 8-year-old mind, I just saw a mission field as being the mission field. What's interesting is that we all have our preconceptions about what missionaries are, about what mission really is. And I may not be that simplistic or misguided, but we all have our own ideas about what mission really is. Today, we're going to talk about mission. I'm going to talk for a few minutes, and we're going to bring Ron Montgomery and Michael Brooks up here in a little bit. But I wanted to talk for the next 5 to 6 minutes about mission. And I wanted to start with asking this one question. What is God doing in the world? It's a very big question. Now, we do know what evil is doing in the world. We see that all the time on television. We see it online. We see story after story of how fallen people are and what they are capable of. My suggestion, whenever you start becoming more afraid than hopeful, is to turn off Fox News, turn off CNN for a week, and let's think about what God has done in the world. And let's think about what God is doing and what He wants to do in the world. Now, I will say confidently, God is working here. He's doing something in this world. Things that we can't even imagine. Things that would blow our minds if we even knew how hopeful things are in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the mess. Because God does His best work in the dark. He does His best work in the mess. That's where He's working right now. So I had a conversation with a man named Dan Bouchel. He is one of the directors of Mission Resource Network. He just got back from Greece, spent about probably a month there, over there talking with churches and people. And he went to Athens and spent some time with a church who a year ago, this small church in Athens was begging any Western missionary to come and help them out. Begging. They were on the verge of closing their doors. They were dying. This small church was doing everything they could to pray for revival. And then the refugees started coming. Now, they're in the middle of not knowing whether they're going to make it the next week or two. And they thought to themselves, why don't we just go down as these refugees are coming in? Let's just see what we can do to help. Flash forward 1 year. This is a booming church. Revival has come in the face of refugees. This church, who a year ago was begging for any missionary to come and speak, now have realized they are the missionaries. They've not just waited for someone else to tell them their mission. They've now realized they have a mission. They know their mission, and God's using these people to show Jesus Christ to a group of people who only know about Jesus from what they've read in the Quran. It's amazing, story after story. These people, these refugees are escaping Syria, war torn countries. These are people who are having dreams. They're dreaming about Jesus appearing to them with holes in his hands. They're dreaming about Jesus saying, come to me, I'm the bread of life. They don't know anything about this, They only know what they've read in the Quran. Jesus is finding ways to talk to them. In the worst of situations, we hear stories about these people praying in the name of Jesus because they don't know what else to do. And they come and they see Jesus in the faces of these normal people who give them clothes, who feed them, who help them when they're sick, who bind their wounds. These people have a mission. It's amazing. And these countries that are taking such risks, we find God's doing some wonderful things in the midst of the risk. What's amazing is that God is not safe. God is a risky God. And this is not just happening now. This happens in Scripture. Turn to Acts chapter 9. I'm going to read something really quickly. This has happened in Scripture. Let's look. This says this, starting in verse 3. Could you forward this for me on the back? Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" And the reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up into the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Verse 10. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen a vision. In a vision, a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard many stories about this man. How much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul, and he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days, he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." Wow. Here's a man who was killing, murdering, rounding Christians up. Ananias knew it, but he went anyway. He didn't just go. He had a face-to-face conversation. What's interesting is that these Damascus roads, these Damascus road moments are still happening. They're happening. There's just not enough Ananiases able to help them experience what they learn, what they've experienced. There's lots of Damascus Road moments, and there's not enough Ananiases. Mission is something that we don't just do over there. It's something that is here, right here, each and every day, but it's hard to see it, I know, in this area, this bright, shiny, and perfect society that we've created for ourselves. Especially if you're in a society where you don't see any homeless because they're typically arrested whenever they go on the street corners. How do you teach your kids how to be empathetic, to see, to notice? I think we have to seek it out. We can't just sit back and wait for moments to give or write a check. We have to seek out opportunities to serve. We have to take a posture to where we stoop to hear someone, where we stoop to see, stoop to serve. And from this posture of service, This is when our eyes are open to what the mission really is. There's a song called Oceans, and one of the lyrics, I love it, because it explains what we're talking about here. And it's a song you sing from this posture of openness and willingness. The lyric says this. It's sung, it says, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. It's hard to sing. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Wherever you would call me, there's a lot of places my feet will not wander. Would we be willing to go there? Water is not solid. Water is risky, especially if you try to walk on it. Would we be willing to try it out? To allow God to lead us where we may never go alone. To allow God to lead us to a people who need us. To allow God to allow people to come to us that need us. And I know it's frightening, but God is not a safe God. He is a risky God. And amazing things happen in the middle of the risk. And in this case, Ananias, he took a risk. He took a risk. This God-fearing Syrian took a risk. And you know what happened from this God-fearing Syrian? We have got Paul. Not Saul. Who knows what would have happened if Ananias had said no? But what I know is that God used him. Now, the tables you see out there, that's not all we're capable of. But man, it gives us a good idea of what we are capable of. So for the next few minutes, I want you to watch this video, and I want you to see some of the things that we're doing here at Grapevine. Go ahead and play that video.
I'm Justin Taylor, the youth minister here at the Grapevine Church of Christ. My big mission is our teens and our youth group. I see God working through them all the time, the way that they serve, the projects that they do, the way that they're learning and growing closer to God through Scripture. But one of our biggest missions that we have coming up is we plan to take our youth group to Nicaragua this summer. And we need your help. More importantly, we need you to be praying for this. Be praying for the individuals that will be going. And be praying that we can do good while we're there. But another way you can help us is by attending our give back events, by participating in our fundraiser meal at Barefoot Sunday. You can find out all about this in our table in the foyer, but I just ask for you to join me.
My name is Myra Houston, and I work with the Coat Drive here at Grapevine Church of Christ. We work all year collecting coats, storing them, getting them ready for the Coat Drive that we have every year in November. I see Jesus in the people who come to get the coats, the children when they try on a coat and they're so excited to have a new coat for the winter. Also see Jesus in the people who work from our church, the children who help start breakfast, the people who we all work together to make it such a great endeavor. There's lots of ways that you can help. We ask that you ask your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers for a coat. We're kind of short this year. We ask that you help on the day of the coat drive. We'll have breakfast that we serve for the people who come. We can donate food. There's lots of ways you can work. Just join me.
Hi, I'm Earl Hinesley. I've been a member at Grapevine Church of Christ for about 26 years. We have an outreach program, a ministry that is called Friendspeak. We've had this ministry for about 15 years. This is a ministry where we read with people who are striving to improve their English. This is a program where we're able to develop friendships and be a part of people's lives. As we develop those friendships, we see God in the friendships and in the people that we become friends with. We help them, and they become a part of our lives as well. This is a ministry that touches hearts, and it is a ministry that you can be a part of. If you'd like to be a part of this ministry, and see God in the faces of friends that you can make new friends, then contact Gonzalo Robles or me. We'll help you get plugged into the program. Thank you.
Hey, guys, this is Christian. Talk just a moment about Mission Par Cristo and the work going on in Nicaragua. I've had the fortune of going several times. I've gotten to see Yad and the work done there in the faces of children as they play, as they stand in line to serve and eat meals, as the folks who get clean water or get new houses and are able just to see those who come to know Christ. And it's a phenomenal work that happens there. You can get involved with the mission with Smilebox program. You can get involved by taking a trip down there. You can even get involved by doing a sponsorship of a child. And there's any number of ways, and I hope that you join me.
My name is Tyler Cosgrove. I've been working at Christ Haven for Children for 5 years. And for the past 62 years, Christ Haven has been caring for abused, abandoned, and neglected children all across North Texas. With house parents showing children the love of Christ, taking them to church, and rearing them in a Christian home. You can get involved by coming out to work day in the spring or in the fall. You can come and work and help in the office, help on the grounds, or help in the cottages. We appreciate any help our volunteers can give. And Grapevine Church of Christ is one of our best supporters with our pantry, giving bags and bags of food and toiletries that our kids desperately need. Join me.
We have these and many other ministries here at Grapevine Church. We ask that you find one that you are passionate about and join us.
I'm going to ask Ron and Michael to come on up. Again, this is where we are, but it's not where we're going to stay. There's lots of other things that we're capable of. I asked Ron and Michael to come up. I wanted to kind of pick your brain a little bit and let people hear from you specifically. So we're going to just have a little nice Q&A. Is that all right?
Well, this will be a short discussion if it's picking our brains.
Okay. Pretend this is our living room and we're just talking for a minute. Okay, so the reason I brought them up is because they are on our missions committee, and they've been doing some wonderful things with a lot of other wonderful people who are serving on that committee as well. So what I wanted to do is talk just for a moment about one of our big missions, and that's Ukraine.
Sure.
I know that we've been praying for the Dovzhenkos and the work that's going on there. Could you kind of update us on the things that are going on?
Yeah, and some of you may be surprised. You've heard that we got approval from the government for them to go get their R1 visa. They went to the embassy in Ukraine, and frankly, they were rejected. So unfortunately, not only were they rejected, but they were banned for 10 years. So we have some work to do. It's one of those things where, you know, we knew that God's hand was at play here. So while you probably expect they're a little bit downtrodden, they are absolutely not. They're pretty excited. We have a work for them that has come up that's going to keep them there. Frankly, they now have a place to go. They're excited. We're going to have them go down to Ivano-Frankivsk and help that work. A lot of refugees are there from the eastern part where they were from, so they speak Russian. So, you know, God's work is not done, and His hand is clearly in this. We all had a different view of what that was going to look like. It turned out the way He wanted, not the way we wanted.
Yeah. Now, did they sent us a video, didn't they?
They did. They did. Yeah, hopefully we'll get a chance to see that. They're pretty excited to talk to you as a group and as a family. So if we have their video, could we play that?
Come to Grapevine Church of Christ. Hello, our friends. We made this video to let you know last news from our friends.
First of all, we wanted to send everyone to you who put great efforts and a lot of money. You continue to own the time for us and for our approval for our money visa.
Everything was great. Thank you, and you did a great job. We were happy. Almost sure we're almost there with you.
But as we all know, we have our own plans, and God has His plans. And everything happened not like we were hoping that it would happen. U.S. Embassy denied us from our visa, and it means that we are staying here in Ukraine.
Yeah, we're not sad. We are happy.
And don't be sad too, please.
Yeah, we hope you will be with us and continue to support us. And We want to continue our relationship and friendship with you. And we hope to see you here in the event with us. And to see you inspired and to remind you and during our lives.
We will never forget the time that we spent in the West and in Texas with all of you. Because everyone of you is home really showed us Christ's love. Thank you.
We love you. And see you soon in Ukraine.
Yes, see you in Ukraine.
Bye.
Come to visit us.
And we stay in the home.
Yeah, I know that was for me, that was a little sad and a little shocking, how things kind of turn out like that. But from what they're saying is that they have a mission to do.
Yep.
And they're focused.
Yeah, while we talk about them, I think it's worth noting, we have five missionaries over there that today are doing similar kinds of work. Oleg and Eldar are in the eastern part, as they're 30 kilometers from the war. And yet they're baptizing people and they're teaching and they're working in the hospitals there. Clearly we've got the work that's going on in Ivano and we've got what they're going to do. So there's a lot of activity over there. There's a lot of opportunity over there. And it's a work that I think we still need to get behind.
Yeah, that's right. And so, you know, in addition to that, we've got Misión para Cristo. And these are our smile boxes that we were able to assemble this week. How many do we have? 200 and... something?
Yeah, and something.
Yeah, a lot. So this is great. This is all because of what you've done this year. You've, you know, brought each month, you buy different things, and we were able to send these out this week, and it's going to be good. Now, Michael, one thing me and you were talking about was just the state of our missions now as opposed to what could happen. And I know that you've got some great vision. You've got a lot of, I would say, just some really good positive outlooks for what we're capable of. Could you talk for a second about that?
Yeah, I'll say our missions committee. Wow, we've been discussing some opportunities we have here locally, right? These foreign missions are fantastic, and really our local missions are done right now either in partnership with the Christ Haven or with a I'm drawing a blank. Main Street. Thank you. It's right here. But some of the other things that we're doing are really brought about through the passion and the spirit of our own members, right? The Birchfields, Myra, there's a lot of folks that bring ideas and say, I just need support, or I need a room, or I need the lot. We want to lead this mission. And we as a missions committee are thinking about how do we balance that? Do we need more people to raise their hand and say, I want to get behind this? And I don't really know how it's going to look, but we want to see something like this here in Grapevine. We support that 100%. If you have an idea or a passion, bring that in, and we'll help you sharpen it and build it from scratch if need be, or we'll partner with another organization that we know here locally and build something there. So we're all about either or. And if you don't know if it fits into what this church is supposed to do, it doesn't matter. Bring the idea in and we'll talk about it and build it. FriendSpeak is another opportunity for us. There are people coming here wanting to learn English. And at the same time, we're going to Nicaragua. We're going maybe across the tracks to people who are speaking Spanish. Why couldn't we, at the same time we're teaching people English, why couldn't we as a body learn Spanish and take that message down to Main Street or to another part of this city? So there's a lot of opportunity and a lot of ideas, and I think it's just, this is a good time for this church to think about those opportunities, refine them, and roll them out.
The thing I love is that we have been blessed with some great ministry leaders. I mean, I could go on and tell you who all is doing what. There's so many people who have such an invested attitude and interest in these mission efforts. You know, from Grant being at Main Street for so long and just helping and driving that, to the Birchfields, to all these other ministries that we have. You know, the thing I love is when people do come to us and say, I have an idea for a mission effort. And instead of saying, could you do it for me, Scott? I will, you know, them saying, no, what can I do? How you? We'll tell you. We'll help you. You know, like Home Depot, right? You can do it. We can help. You know, how great is that, that we are filled with a church like that? So I know that we've got a lot of potential here, and we have a lot of work that needs to be done in the missions that we have. But I know some of our people have questions, and I want to take the next 2 or 3 minutes, and I know you may not have expected this, but if you have a question that you would like to ask about missions or something that maybe we are doing, maybe let me know. Do you have a question that we can maybe ask Ron and Michael while I have them up here? Captive.
So while you're thinking of those questions, I want to kind of mention a little bit more about FriendSpeak. One of the things we learned when we talked with Anya and Jenya this week is when they were in Ivano, they had the church here got behind a English-speaking FriendSpeak to reach out to Ukraine. Two of the ladies who aren't even members of the church over there came there just to see her, to see Anya, to see if they could reinstitute that whole effort, because it was something that they thought they really needed. So,
and we had people from our church Skyping on doing a little language lesson, right? Mm-hmm. That's great. It's so wonderful.
And you know, while you're challenging, you know, I'm looking over here at this really handsome-looking, great group of young people
right
here. And I can tell you that it's not the adults in the room that necessarily can do stuff. You guys have a chance to work within your group to do stuff in the missions field as well. Reach out to a community, come up with an idea, and let us help you, because it's a fun way to get started meeting people and doing stuff that's meaningful. So you're part of the process.
That's right. We have any questions at all about what's going on? Putting you on the spot. Probably not.
Then I'm going to piggyback on what you said before about the preschool. We really do overlook it. It's really not even listed here, but the truth is they are probably the most successful and active ministry that we have in this building. There's 130 kids that come in that door every day, and they learn about God, about some of the basic fundamentals. I went to a preschool when I was a kid, and a Christian preschool, and it probably changed my life in a number of ways. And so we actually asked, I'm putting my finance committee hat on for a minute, and we asked the preschool, think about blowing the doors out. If you could double that place in 2 or 3 years, what would that look like? Because the staff there is excellent, the administrators are excellent. In some cases, the building is holding them back. And we wanted to ask them what we could do to improve that. And that's a big opportunity for us. And as you're praying for Ukraine, the folks that are, you know, that country is turning over. We've got a city that's turning over, right? The other preschools have shut down, and more of them are coming through our doors at an extremely reduced rate. It's a real opportunity for us. So be thinking about that group when we're thinking about missions and praying for them as well.
And you know, so many other churches in America, I will say, are empty throughout the week. They're empty Monday through Friday. Maybe they'll be meeting on Wednesday night. But there are people in this building each and every day. Most Saturdays, there's someone doing something here. And what an opportunity to bless people who come through our doors each and every day who may not even have a faith community, who may not even go to church. Man, what an opportunity we have whenever God's bringing the mission to us. So there's a lot of potential here in this church family. Anything else we want to say?
Well, I just like maybe just put a little emphasis around the work that was done this morning by our kids. You know, they raised money for those three children that we've been sponsoring. I'm not sure everybody here knows how big a project that is in Nicaragua and why it's important. The work at Mission Para Cristo supports 380 of those kids. So there's a real need down there. We've collected smile boxes. We don't have enough smile boxes actually to cover the kids that mission tries to help.
Right.
So there are some great opportunities out there, but just imagine the scope of the work. We see a little piece and we're involved in a little piece, but the world's huge. A lot for us to do.
And I know that Benny's vision is to ramp that work up to do more. And I think it's possible very much. Well, I want to say thank you to Michael and Ron. Y'all can go have a seat, and let's all stand up, please. We're gonna have a moment where we're gonna sing. We have a baptism in a few moments too. I'm very excited about that. So please stay around here in just a moment. I wanted to encourage you again to take a moment and ask yourself what God is wanting you to do. Now, He may not want you to go to Ukraine or to start a whole new mission work. You may not have ever considered yourself a missionary. But I'm here to tell you, you have a mission. You have a mission. God has directly called you to fulfill His work. He doesn't want to use anyone else except for you. You are His plan A. And together, imagine what a bunch of people who are accepting their mission, imagine what they could do together instead of alone.
You've been listening to Grapevine Church of Christ. Subscribe to the Sermon Podcast and to our other Grapevine Church podcast to hear special behind-the-scenes content. For more information, visit our website, www.grapevinechurch.com.